not knowing. What am I? Lincoln backed into the hallway, blocking me with his body.
You're one of us. You belong with me. I can train you to control your dark magic,
he said in a smooth, beckoning voice. Dark magic. He knew about my dark magic. Maybe I wasn't a celestial, or I wasn't just that, at least. Maybe my wings were black because I was half brimstone demon. Those black bat wings mixed with white angel wings could make mine. Maybe.
Never, Lincoln roared,
then burst forward while the Abruce demon was distracted, slipping his sword into the demon's ribcage. The Abruce demon's eyes bugged out, and then his entire face turned sinister. With a roar, his mouth opened and bees flew out. Honest to God, bees flew from his mouth and attacked Lincoln. He started batting at the air and moved left to right in his spot, but didn't get out of the way, not allowing there to be space between the demon and me. While Lincoln was busy with the bees, I saw the demon pull out a sleek, black sword.
Now!
I shouted, then rammed my shoulder into Lincoln, pushing him into the wall and out of harm's way. I thrust my hand forward with all the anger I could muster, the black magic I'd tried so hard to keep hidden, flying from my palm and wrapping around the Abruce demon's neck. Surprise filled his face, and then he grinned. He had a sword in his stomach, was being choked out by black magic, and was grinning.
Freaking psycho. I can take care of those bees, Sarah said.
Shit, I'd forgotten about Lincoln. He was on the ground now, getting stung from the looks of it. While the Abruce demon was wrestling with his new necktie, I held Sarah against Lincoln's back, the flat of the blade touching his shirt. A burst of white light shot out, and I jerked my head to the side, closing my eyes against the brightness. The blade heated up, but didn't burn me, and then the light died down. Opening my eyes, I saw every bee had been turned to ash.
You're seriously badass, I told my partner in crime. Thanks, love. Now run before he gets that off.
Oh, yeah. The Abruce demon was still wrestling with my dark magic choker. Hooking my arm under Lincoln's armpit, I hauled him up to a standing position. His skin was covered in welts, but I could see his hands were glowing orange, and he was already working on healing them. He pulled his sword out of the demon and tucked the other arm around me. The winter ball was an utter mayhem, people running around like crazy.
Shay!
I shouted.
Over here!
My best friend replied, somewhere to the right. My head snapped in her direction, and I saw she was holding the back door open for people. Noah and Blake were with her, ushering everyone outside. Lincoln and I took off running just as the Abruce demon lunged for us. Lincoln threw his hand out behind him, and another brilliant white light shot from his palms, smacking the demon in the face.
Whoa.
He definitely aced his studies of light class. Once we'd made it safely across the ballroom, Darren popped up in front of us.
We've got an Abruce demon, two brimstones, and a handful of caster demons, he reported to Lincoln.
Lincoln nodded to Darren, then grabbed the back of my neck gently, turning me to face him. He ran his thumb along my jawline softly, looking my body up and down, seemingly admiring my dress.
You clean up nice. I'm sorry your date got ruined.
He said date like it was the plague. He totally liked me. The bastard. I grinned. Thanks, it's all the yoga I do. He chuckled, but then a scream tore his gaze from me, and he looked strained.
Go back to school with Blake and Noah, and text me the second you're safe. Sit in Raphael's office and wait for me.
My brow furrowed. No way. Come with me. He looked behind him. The Abruce demon had dissolved the necktie, and was grinning wickedly at us. Lincoln turned back to me.
I don't run from demons, Brielle. Go. I need to know you're safe.
I don't run from demons. That was both the cockiest and hottest thing he'd ever said. I can help, I told him, holding Sarah up to him. He shook his head.
Take her,
he whispered to someone behind me. And then I was being forcefully dragged away.
No, Lincoln!
Whoever held me had a firm grip. I bucked and thrashed to no avail, ultimately giving in, and looking back in Lincoln's direction. With me forgotten, he swung around and thrust his sword in the air. Blue shards of light burst from the tip, and the two brimstone demons were brought to their knees. Just as I was sucked out the back door, the Abruce demon charged for him.
Lincoln!
I didn't realize tears were streaming down my face until whoever held me eased their hold and wiped them.
I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Fred apologized,
Then he shoved me into the open door of Noah's SUV and closed it. His melancholy face was the last thing I saw that night, as the SUV peeled out of the parking lot. Chapter 17. I screamed for Noah to turn the car around the entire drive to Fallen Academy, but he insisted he was following orders, that the Fallen Army was inbound, and Lincoln would be okay. I'd numbly texted Lincoln when we arrived, and then was ushered to Raphael's office, though he wasn't there. Noah instructed me to wait on the couch, that it was the safest place for me, and that he would guard the door from outside. Shay wasn't permitted to wait with me, so she ran back to the dorm to hide, and we texted back and forth for over an hour until, by some miracle, sleep finally took me. It was the early hours of the morning, still dark out, when the murmured voices woke me.
What is she? They want her because she has demon powers. But so do a lot of kids at the school,
Lincoln whispered.
She's awake,
Raphael informed him.
Damn it. Freaking psychic archangel.
I peeled my eyes open and sat up quickly, taking in Lincoln's disheveled appearance. He hadn't slept. That much was clear, and I could see by the fresh dressing on his shoulder and the full sling that he'd been to the healing clinic.
Are you okay?
I bolted to a standing position, the last remnants of sleep fading. Patches of his skin were still welted from the bee stings.
I'll recover.
His blue eyes roamed over my body as if checking me for injuries. I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I could feel my sanity dancing in a chicken hat at the edges of my mind, threatening to jump off the cliff.
You have to tell me everything you know. I can't live like this. Why do they want me? Why are my wings black? What am I?
I shouted the last part and ran a shaky hand through my hair. Raphael had answers, and I needed them, or I was going to lose my mind. The unknowing was more terrifying to me. The archangel sighed, shared a long look with a confused Lincoln, and then walked toward me. With each step, his presence pressed in on me like a balm to a burning wound. My energy settled as he reached for my shoulder, resting a calming hand there.
When you took the angelic blood test, it showed some demonic powers.
His words came like a punch in the gut. Every single one. I mean, I'd guessed that I'd been demon-gifted with the black wings, but I'd been in complete denial until right then. I wasn't angel-blessed. I wasn't like the other Celestials. I shrugged out of his touch and crossed my arms, facing the wall for a moment to compose myself.
So what? Her own mother is a necromancer. Half the school has some form of demon power in them. Why do they want her?
Lincoln was trying to downplay it, which made me fall for him even harder in that moment. Raphael cleared his throat.
Because of the prophecy. Because of whose powers she has.
My whole body went rigid as I tried to remind myself to breathe. I slowly turned around, my eyes snapping to the archangel's face.
What did you just say?
Prophecies were never good. I'd never heard of a prophecy where someone forecasted peace on Earth, or that, starting in a certain year, everyone would be happy. Raphael sighed again, seemingly resigned.
Right after the war, when we'd realized what it had cost the humans, we found our first sighted. She was an older woman, about 60 years in age, and she told of a prophecy that each sighted after her has repeated verbatim, despite never being told about it.
No. My thoughts immediately went to James and those few minutes before the awakening ceremony. He'd told me to be careful. And what else? I couldn't remember. And we'd been interrupted before he could tell me more. I hadn't seen or spoken to him since. Now that I had thought of it, I hadn't even heard about him. What happened to him after the awakening? I'd have to ask Shay if she saw him at Tainted Academy. The sighted received the rarest of powers. I didn't think I'd even met one at this school.
What's the prophecy?
I asked, wishing I had Teddy, my stuffed bear with one eye and a split neck from when Mikey tried to kill him with a bow and arrow. He was somewhere in a landfill right now, but I desperately wanted him back. Raphael looked to Lincoln, who was just glaring at him with barely contained anger.
Prophecies are fickle. If I tell you that you'll trip and break your leg, and you do, then did you break your leg because you were meant to, or because I planted the seed in your mind?
Raphael asked.
Sir.
Lincoln bit out that one word, and it was enough to set the tone. Tell us, or we'll unleash the full rage of two people who don't like being kept in the dark.
Raphael nodded. The prophecy states that a young girl with black wings will go into the underworld and kill Lucifer, ending the war. This isn't happening. I'm still sleeping. I laughed then, a maniacal, I'm losing my mind laugh. Lincoln was staring at me with worry, eyebrows furrowed, mouth dripping in a slight frown. That doesn't mean it's you, or that the prophecy will come to pass. The future is always changing. Why do I have black wings? What am I? I'd asked many times, and he'd always danced around it, conveniently leaving that part out. Raphael took on the face of a father then, one who was about to tell a child their cat had been run over. You're a beautiful soul who was empowered with gifts from me, Michael, Uriel, Gabriel, and... He paused, and I leaned forward, though I wasn't really sure I wanted to know. Lucifer. He actually said it. Spoke my worst nightmare out loud. Not that I could conceive such an awful thing, but pretty much the worst thing that could ever happen to a human, being endowed with powers from Lucifer himself, had happened to me. Hooray. I shook my head vigorously. No. No, you're mistaken. Bile rose in my throat. Denial. I would fly and live there forever, because there was no way I was accepting that as truth. My eyes flicked over to Lincoln, who stood there, slack-jawed, staring at me like I'd sprouted an extra head. Raphael moved closer to me, and I took a step back. I don't want comfort. I want the truth, I shouted at him. He frowned. Of course. Then he walked over to the desk and produced the box and knife from my blood ceremony. Lucifer's emblem, the snake, lit up when I tested you. Shock ripped through me at such concrete proof, my eyes filling with tears, as denial turned to shame. That's not fair, I yelled, as the tears overflowed and trailed down my cheek. I didn't ask for this. You love talking about free will. Well, I didn't will any of this. I was an innocent 5-year-old girl when you... I jabbed my finger at him as the rage built within me. And the rest of the angels started a war, infecting my people. Innocent humans were turned to freaks because of you, I shouted. Hurt crossed Raphael's face.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Lincoln winced.
Brielle.
No, leave me alone. I turned and burst out of the door, blasting past Noah, Blake, and Darren, who were stationed on either side. I was dark. Shay had made me promise I wouldn't let her go dark, and I was the one who did. Not just any dark magic ran through my veins. His did. Lucifer's. The devil. Freaking evil incarnate. I felt sick to my stomach thinking about it. I ran harder, pumping my legs to take me to the open field where I knew I could be alone. Everyone was still sleeping, the sun just starting to rise. I wanted to fly far away from there, to another country and never speak of it again. Live an entirely new life. If I was Lucifer's weird little stepchild, would the demons ever stop coming for me? Especially if they believed in some prophecy, where I was going to kill him? Really? Me, an almost 19-year-old girl, go into the depths of hell and kill the devil? I laughed as more tears streamed down my face. Footsteps sounded behind me, and I whirled around to Lincoln. I just stood there, chest heaving from running, tears covering my cheeks. I was a hot mess, and I was still wearing my dress from the ball. I'm evil, I whimpered. I had to voice my fears out to someone. Why not him? He was probably there to lock me in my own area of the school, where they could keep an eye on me. His face contorted in agony.
No, never.
He pulled me by the shoulders and crushed me into his chest for a bear hug. As those strong arms wrapped around me, his scent washed over me, mixing with the warmth of his tight muscles. I felt so safe, so at home. Lincoln Gray was hugging me, hard, like he didn't want to let go. Maybe I am still sleeping.
We'll figure this out together, he promised.
What? I looked up into his eyes as he looked down at me, our lips a mere agonizing inch apart. Together? He nodded.
Yeah, you've grown on me. You're mine now.
You're mine now. My brain barely had time to process those delicious words when his lips claimed mine in a tender kiss. It wasn't heated like the one on the beach. It was soft, exploring, and over all too soon. When he pulled back, He brushed his fingers through my hair.
When I met you, I was in a dark place, fresh from the loss of my family. But something about you lit me up again, made me care again. I tried to fight it, to look for reasons why this wouldn't work, but I can't anymore.
His thumb stroked my jaw, and a pulse of heat shot straight to my gut.
Whoa. I had no words for that announcement.
Tell no one of this news, except for Shay.
Then he switched to battle mode.
I'm going to double your training. I want you to become a lethal demon-killing machine by the end of the year. Pass the gauntlet and get accepted into year two. It's the only way to keep you safe, he declared.
My mind was still on that kiss, that declaration that I, Brielle Atwater, lit him up inside. But then reality came crashing down. I was Lucifer's daughter, for all intents and purposes.
What if I go dark?
Black throat-choking magic flung from my mouth, after all. We certainly couldn't ignore that. He shook his head.
Not possible.
Denial. I used to live there. Lincoln, I appreciate your faith in me, but if I go dark, grasping both sides of my face, he cupped my cheeks.
Brielle, you annoy the shit out of me sometimes. You're stubborn as hell, you don't listen, and I'm pretty sure the black magic you choked the Abruce demon with is super dark stuff. But you are not evil. I know your soul.
I know your soul. Lincoln must have spent a lot of time with his nose shoved in those poetry books I saw in his trailer, though I wasn't complaining one bit. I'd heard rumors of those who went completely dark and ended up committing suicide after being surrounded by such evil all the time. A 23-year-old dark mage killed herself in our building just last year.
Wait, I annoy you? I asked, confused.
And his laugh warmed my stomach, bringing a smile to my face. You're the biggest asshole I've ever met. I winked, turning the gesture against him for once. He kissed the top of my nose.
Well, aren't we quite a pair?
Lincoln Gray and I are a pair. What alternate universe is this? I'd wanted to kill him when I first met him, but now I wanted to see him dripping wet in his towel again. That V needed its own instant replay.
Now what? I asked.
His hands fell from my face, and he gritted his teeth.
Now we train. I'm going to teach you everything I know, above what you should for your first year of schooling.
I'm already tired just thinking about it.
He nodded.
You should be. I'm no longer going to go easy. It won't do you any favors in the end.
Stepping back, I crossed my arms and glared.
Excuse me? Go easy? I saved your ass back at the dance from those bees, remember?
He chuckled.
No, Sarah did. And if they kidnap you, that's the first thing they'll destroy. You need to become a weapon. Your hands. Your mind. I'm going to make a weapon out of you, Brielle.
He ended the last sentence with a sinister look.
Shit. Sounds scary.
I shrugged. Couldn't we just go on a date instead? Movies, maybe? His face didn't budge, and I groaned.
When do we start?
I slept on a freaking couch last night, and he's injured, so he better not say...
Now, go change, he commanded.
I groaned even louder as I succumbed to my fate. The next few months were going to suck. And suck they did. Lincoln trained me harder than ever before. I was falling asleep in class because I was so exhausted from the extra workouts, but the past few months had been pretty great otherwise. Fred and I had remained friends, and he actually started dating Angela with my blessing. Lincoln and I were going strong, only verbally abusing each other 60% of the time.
Get up, woman, he roared.
My boy toy stood over me, sword drawn, the tip pressed into my neck slightly.
If you would allow me a weapon, this would be a fair fight, I snarled at him.
Our makeout sessions back in his trailer were epic after a really good training session of talking shit to each other. I kept trying to go all the way with him, but the age thing freaked him out, even though I'd turned 19 2 months back in November. I also might have let it slip that I'd only had sex once for 30 seconds. Now he kept calling me a virgin.
Demons don't do fair fights. Get up, he growled,
the blade tip tight to my neck. He was definitely a bit psycho, but his looks more than made up for it. Weren't we all a little crazy after all?
You have a blade to my neck. If I get up, I'll bleed out, I explained, in case he was off his meds or something.
He shrugged.
Think of something. Use dark magic.
Bend a light. Kick me in the balls. Just do something.
I wanted those balls to help create my children one day, so that was out. Bend light? Was he drunk?
That was some advanced-level shit that Darren was trying to teach me, but I had yet to even be able to produce light. And I wasn't using dark magic. No way. Never again. And definitely not on him.
I'm pregnant, and it's yours, I stated calmly. His eyes widened, and his arm relaxed.
What?
He roared. Using the distraction to roll out of the way of his sword, I kicked out with my leg, tripping him. He dropped the sword and went flying on his ass. I grinned from my place on the floor as he turned to glare at me.
That was a low blow.
Then he looked impressed.
But effective.
My body swiftly moved, crawling over to him and straddling his waist. We were alone in the smaller side gym, and Lincoln was getting less pissy about public displays of affection. He kept threatening to find me a new trainer so there wasn't a conflict of interest, but then he'd say he didn't trust anyone enough. When I plopped down on his crotch and arched my back, pressing my pelvis into him, he groaned. Silly. We haven't had sex, so I can't be pregnant. I bent down and kissed his hot mouth. He sucked my bottom lip, palm flattening against my back, and then suddenly I was being spun, until I was underneath him.
Maybe I need to remedy that situation.
He looked me up and down with a half-lidded gaze. Oh, God, yes, please. I checked for a fake watch on my wrist. Now's good for me. He grinned, a mischievous glint in his eyes.
I'll tell you what, pass the gauntlet, and then maybe I'll consider deflowering you.
A groan escaped me. I'm not a virgin. Since when does a girl have to beg for sex? He kissed my forehead and rolled off me.
Since now.
The sexual tension between us was so strong, and I knew he was hurting as much as I was. I'd never wanted someone so badly as I wanted him. All of him. We'd been exclusively dating almost 3 months now. If we used protection, and were both consenting adults, we could totally bring on the sex.
Pass the gauntlet, he reiterated.
Standing, I peeled off my tank top to reveal my blue sports bra. I hoped my nipples were hard, like two little fingers flipping him off. His eyes widened.
What are you doing?
Nothing, I answered with a shrug. It's hot in here. He scowled.
I see what you're doing. Trying to kill me?
Is it working? He adjusted his pants.
Yes, we're done for today.
I grinned.
Chapter 18. That night, I met Luke, Chloe, and Shay in the training room for practice. We'd heard a rumor that, in the gauntlet, you were forced to work in teams, so we were practicing team drills and team takedowns. My arms and legs were ripped after lifting weights with Darren every day, and Shay was getting scary good with spellcasting. Last week, she'd done some illusion thingy to make it look like Lincoln was sleeping in my bed. It was super depressing to roll over and see him disappear.
Okay, so my dad let it slip that the gauntlet isn't just to keep you in the school. It also determines your rank if and when you join the Fallen Army. It's timed, so better time, better rank, Chloe said, her fanged teeth protruding slightly onto her bottom lip.
I shrugged. Sounds cool, like a magical fitness test.
She nodded. But my dad says they make it real. He couldn't say more, but he insinuated that our lives could really be in danger.
That had my eyes widening.
Why would Raphael allow that?
Shay rolled her eyes.
You put Raphael on this pedestal.
Yes. School here is free, but that's only because the archangels are recruiting for their army.
Their army that protects people from demons, I interjected.
Shay shrugged.
I'm just saying, they want to sort the weak from the strong, and I like my cushy life here, so let's practice.
I grinned. Are you sure you can miss your Wednesday night date? Wednesday was her make out with Noah in the car and leave him with blue balls day.
Have you slept with him yet? Chloe asked.
Shay made a disgusted face.
I would never allow his wee-wee in my vajayjay.
I burst out laughing, not just at her verbiage, but also at the look of horror that crossed Luke's face when she said it.
Did you seriously just say wee-wee? Oh my God, you're such a kindergarten teacher, I teased.
Shay rolled her eyes.
Fine, I don't want his dirty dick near me. He gets around.
Ew, that was vulgar. I almost preferred wee-wee.
Why not break it off? I asked, setting up practice mats around the gym.
She shrugged.
I have this fantasy that one day he'll stop whoring around, we'll get married, have 2.5 children, and live in the burbs. Now it was Chloe's turn to laugh. Well, he keeps coming back for more, so you must have something he wants. She winked and smacked Shay's butt. Shay blew her a kiss and then rubbed her hands together. Check this out. I found an advanced mage book while I was grading papers in Mr. Claymore's office, and I've been dying to try the spell. It creates a portal between two points, so let's say the gauntlet is a long run. I can open the portal here and end it at the finish line, bringing us all through to win. Luke let out a low whistle. But remember the time you tried that spell to make my horns drip poison, and I almost died? Oh, ouch. That was pretty scary. Luke's beast form was frightening, but it was even scarier that his horns could pierce flesh. Shay had the brilliant idea to make them drip poison, but it went all wrong, and he'd ended up in the healing ward for a week. Shay rolled her eyes. I've improved a lot since then. This is harmless. No one has to go through right now. I'm just going to start practicing opening the portal. Chloe shrugged. Fine, but do it over there so if it blows up we don't get hurt. She gestured to the corner of the room. Shay gave her a pissy look, but she did as she'd asked. Okay, Luke. You shift, I instructed, then pointed to the nightblood. Chloe, I want to test your strength. She grinned. I thought you'd never ask. Her lips puckered as she laid a kiss on her inner arm, which she then lifted and flexed. I chuckled. I'd somehow become leader of our little practice group. So far, no one had died, so I figured I was doing something right. Luke started shifting, and I knew I'd never get used to the sound of cracking bones. There were varying types of beast shifters. Most of them were earthly animals with horns, which was the case with Luke. His bulked-out brown bear form with curled black horns was pretty terrifying to look at. The only thing that calmed me was knowing that it was my good friend inside it, and that he'd never hurt me. After Luke was on all fours, letting out a little roar to make sure we wouldn't easily wet our pants during the gauntlet, we were ready. All right, Chloe, strength and speed are your main two gifts, I acknowledged. She put a hand on her hip. And my devilishly good looks. I grinned. And that. So let's see if you can chuck Luke's bear into that mat across the room. Luke's big brown bear eyes went wide, but Chloe didn't look fazed. She was a daredevil who liked a challenge. It was what I admired most about her. You ready, big boy? Chloe asked, tossing her red hair over one shoulder. He hated being called big boy, so at her words, he spread his paws out and stood as still as a 500-pound statue, just glaring at her. Chloe tore across the room blindly fast and slammed into Luke's ribcage, knocking him on his side. I winced at the impact. She wouldn't go hard enough to hurt him, but that definitely wasn't comfortable. With a grunt, she heaved him 6 inches into the air before slipping, and then he went plopping down to the ground again. Guys? Shay shouted from her corner of the room. I turned back over my shoulder to look at her, my eyes bugging out of my head. What am I seeing? Shay had created some hole in the ground, and a tiny snake root demon was crawling out of it, looking pissed as hell. She went rigid and slowly started to back up, knowing full well how nasty those little shits could be. It was best not to startle them either, as one spit to the face could leave you blind forever. I had the acid scar on my foot to prove how temperamental the little buggers could be. Chloe was staring at the demon with abject horror. She'd likely never seen one in her whole life by the shock written on her face. Luke was a bit more relaxed, shifting his weight, as if deciding to charge it or not. Don't move. They spook easy and spit acid, I told my friends. We'd all taken the course on demonology and history, but I wasn't sure how much of it they'd retained. I didn't want anyone losing an eye or being scarred for life over a careless move. The snake root demon had fully crawled out of the portal by that point and was looking around the room. Those little creatures loved sugar. Cupcakes, syrup, candy, anything sweet would distract them. But fate wasn't on our side, because we were in the freaking gym without a scrap of food on us. The demon snapped his head in Shay's direction and hissed. Shay, monk shoot illusion, I shouted. That brought the creature's attention to me, and he puckered his lips and spit in my direction. I leapt out of the way just in time, the acidic goo landing a mere foot away. Calm down. We know where the candy is, I told him. He cocked his head to the side, drool forming in his lizard-like mouth. If he didn't spit acid and act like a total maniac,
He'd actually be cute. At 24 inches tall, he was reminiscent of a medium-sized dog, except with scaly skin and sticky hands and feet that let him climb walls. Yes, and cupcakes, too. Shay was working her magic, arcs of purple spellwork spinning through the air. I was hoping she'd gotten my meaning, that I wanted her to create an illusion of a monkshood demon, because snake root demons were terrified of them. Just when it looked like she was doing exactly that, all hell broke loose. Loud sirens burst into the night, blaring deafeningly, and sent the snake root demon into a spitting frenzy. He scurried up the wall, his sticky pad feet holding him there as he continued to spit rapid fire. "Take cover!" I shouted, diving behind a huge practice mat. The sirens were so loud I had never noticed them before, but sure enough, on the top of the far wall, there was a red blinking light and speaker.
"Students, the demon alarm has been activated. Please proceed to a safe place and wait for help."
Raphael's booming voice came over the speaker. Shit. Demon alarm? "Shay, you tripped the school's demon alarm," I yelled. She was hiding behind a row of weightlifting medicine balls and probably didn't hear me. The alarm sound stopped then, but the light kept blaring. My cell phone was in my bag across the room with Sarah, so I had no way of calling Lincoln or getting my dagger.
"Oh, God!"
Chloe shrieked. My head snapped in the direction she was looking, and my whole body went rigid. Out of the portal, another demon was climbing up and into the gym. A freaking hellhound.
"Shay!"
I roared, then heard the sound of spit hitting the mat I was trying to seek safety under. The smell of burning foam wasn't pleasant, and I'd probably need to ditch the mat soon, or suffer the consequences.
"Shit! I'll close it,"
Shay said, stepping out from behind her medicine ball hideout. The snake root demon saw and took his chance, sending an arc of spit right at her outstretched hand.
"Look out!"
I screamed, tearing across the room with my mat as a shield. It was no use. The acid connected with Shay's arm just as she started her spell, and a wail of pain cut through the air.
"Screw this,"
Chloe muttered. In a blur, she streaked across the room with something in her hands, and then the snake root demon was flying to the other side of the gym. Chloe was standing there grinning, holding a wooden bow staff. I'd barely even seen her pump the tiny demon from his perch on the wall. I used the distraction to get Sarah, chucking the disintegrated mat and picking up my dagger. Shay was huddled on the ground, whimpering over her arm, and Chloe seemed to have the snake root demon in check. She was faster than he could spit, so she was dodging his acid attacks and knocking him across the room with the bow staff like he was a baseball. Luke padded over to my side, both of us staring at the hellhound.
"Shay, how you doing?"
I called out to her, keeping my eyes on the two-headed mutt before me. Hellhounds would rip your throat out in a millisecond and eat your entire carcass in an hour. Bones included.
"I'll be fine. You take care of the hellhound and I'll close the portal."
Her voice was racked with pain, and I knew how bad she must have been hurting. I'd been there. One of the hellhound's heads was glaring at me, the other at Luke. In that moment, both bared their teeth and growled at us simultaneously. I didn't know much about them, except that they were rare and rumored to be Lucifer's favorite creature. Without a clue on how to kill them, I was at a huge disadvantage.
"Behead them,"
Sarah shared. I winced.
"Nasty."
"Are you sure?" I asked. Beheading a wolf dog with red eyes wasn't my idea of a good time. No time to respond as the hellhound lunged for me, probably determining Luke was a greater threat. I dropped to one knee just like Lincoln had taught me and readied myself for the blow, but the collision never came. As the hellhound arced through the air, Luke bent his head low and then snapped it up, goring the creature's side. One of his horns pierced through the animal's ribcage, and a shriek ripped out of both mouths. With a toss of his head, Luke chucked the hellhound across the room and it hit the wall, sliding down into a slump and leaving a trail of black blood down the wall. I did a quick assessment of the situation. Shay was closing the portal, hunched over as she flung magic, cradling her injured arm. A hurried look to the right revealed Chloe had the snake root demon pinned under her boot, its jaw forced closed by the weight of her shoe on its face. Luke and I needed to finish off the hellhound. Just then, the double doors to the gym opened and Lincoln stepped in with no less than 20 fallen army soldiers, including Raphael and Mr. Claymore. Lincoln's eyes widened to saucers.
"What the hell is going on here?"
he bellowed, striding inside and pulling two swords, both glowing a ferocious blue. The hellhound snapped his heads in Lincoln's direction and growled, trying to get up. There was a puddle of blood at its feet, but it still looked ready to party.
Lincoln advanced, and in two clean swishes through the air, he took the hellhound's heads right off. Easy peasy.
"Over here, please," Chloe said.
The snake root demon was squirming hard, probably sensing his impending doom. Blake came up behind Lincoln with a flamethrower in hand and lit it. The snake root demon wiggled harder, and Chloe started to lose balance. With one final pull, he slipped out from under her boot and scrambled up the wall. Lincoln slowly pulled a bag of Skittles from his pocket, opening them with his teeth and scattering them on the floor. The colored candies spread out across the room, offering a distraction for Chloe to back away gradually, as Blake came around the other side of the demon, flamethrower in front of him. My eyes flicked to the left, where Raphael was inspecting the now-closed portal with Shay and Mr. Claymore. If we could get the snake root demon under control, everything was going to be okay. Just when I thought it, I heard the telltale spitting noise. I flicked my head back to see the demon spit in Blake's direction, but he passed the flame in front of him, and the acid hit it instead, sending a burst of fire up to the ceiling. Interesting. The acid's combustible. Blake backed away, and Lincoln kicked some of the Skittles closer to the demon. His little nostrils flared, a greedy look in his eyes. Lincoln took a few wide steps back, and the demon started to crawl down from the wall. When he hit the ground, he snatched a Skittle and gobbled it up, a thin sliver of drool falling from his mouth. Lincoln kicked more toward him, the demon feverishly reaching out with his rat-like paws to pick them up and shove them in his mouth. He was kind of cute when he wasn't trying to blind us with acid. Lincoln charged forward, sword raised with blue sparks shooting off the tip. Blake came down on the demon with the flamethrower. At the same time, Lincoln's sword took his head off. Yikes. The sight of his smoldering body hit me then, the severity of the situation setting in. Lincoln spun on me.
Start talking.
I winced. So much for possibly showing me preferential treatment. Well, I wasn't going to rat Shay out in front of Raphael, and I wasn't sure if Lincoln would protect her. I'd like to think he would, but I didn't know. So it was hoes before bros and all that. But I was also a really bad liar. I opened a portal to hell by accident, Shay confessed before I could speak. I shot her an incredulous look. The last thing we needed was to get kicked out. Mr. Claymore stepped forward, disbelief in his eyes.
You what? That's a very advanced magery.
Shay tucked a brown curl behind her ear. Yeah, I might have read a book in your office I probably wasn't supposed to. And obviously, I wasn't trying to open a portal to hell. I was trying to open one to the library or something, to practice for the gauntlet. Raphael surveyed the scene and shared a curious look with Mr. Claymore.
It could have been a lot worse. Portal opening is a fourth-year skill, he told Shay.
She winced, her cheeks reddening. I didn't even know opening portals to hell was a thing, or I never would have tried it. He bobbed his head.
And you closed the portal all by yourself?
She nodded, and Raphael shared another look with Mr. Claymore, who nodded.
Am I getting kicked out?
Shay was still holding her injured arm. She really needed to go to the healing clinic soon. Raphael shook his head.
No, but I am assigning you to independent study with Mr. Claymore. 1 hour a week, on your own time.
Shay looked confused.
Okay.
I was unclear whether that was punishment or not. It seemed Shay was, too. Raphael's gaze roamed the room.
All right, let's reset the demon alarm. Noah, please walk Shay to the healing clinic. And Lincoln, I'd appreciate it if you oversaw this cleanup.
He gestured to the room of dead demons.
Yes, sir,
Lincoln replied, then shot me a glare. As if it were possible for me to control Shay. Like it was my fault. The room cleared out quickly, leaving just Lincoln, Blake, and me. Lincoln crossed the space quickly and ran his eyes over me.
What the hell, Bree? You're supposed to be lying low. Now you're inviting demons into the training room?
You think I hatched this master plan? I asked, with a hand on my hip. His face softened.
No, but when you walk in to see your girlfriend fighting off a hellhound and a snake root demon, it doesn't look good. You scare the shit out of me.
He cupped my face gently. I grinned. Girlfriend? He rolled his eyes.
Whatever.
I leaned in to give him a quick kiss. When we separated, he sighed.
Seriously, though, I was really worried. The alarm went off, you weren't answering your phone, and you weren't in your dorm. I freaked.
It was that admission that showed me how much Lincoln really cared. At first, I thought we might be some fling. But with each event that brought us closer and closer,
The relationship felt more and more serious, like a longer-lasting thing. The door to the training room opened then.
Atwater! Healing clinic! Now!
Noah barked, then shut the door. Ugh. Duty calls.
Chapter 19. I raced to the healing clinic after Noah.
What's up? Is it overflowing in there? I asked. He shook his head.
No, but as your master healing teacher, I want you to heal Shay's arm. And she's in pain, so you need to hurry.
I stopped dead.
What? No way! I'll screw it up! You do it!
I'd only healed very minor things, like an infection from an ingrown toenail, Mrs. Greeley's headache, Shay's menstrual cramps. I was more of an assistant, really good at grabbing gauze and bandages.
He gripped my arm.
Demon injuries are very common in the war zones, and if you're given a healer position in the Fallen Army, you'll need to know how to heal a snake root acid burn.
My eyes widened as he dragged me across the quad.
She's my best friend. If I mess it up, I'll never be able to live with myself.
He looked back at me with smoldering eyes and tousled hair.
I care about her too, you know.
I thought they were just makeout buddies.
You do? I questioned. Now was as good a time as any to probe him for info.
He smirked.
She's a bitch to me. Keeps me in my place. I like that about her. She's one of a kind.
Did he just call my best friend a bitch? But in a weird, cute way? I was choosing to focus on the one-of-a-kind comment instead, because that was super sweet.
She thinks you're a man-whore, I told him honestly.
His grin widened.
I know. That's her pet name for me.
They had a weird-ass relationship. I'd give them that.
Come on, let's go help her,
he urged. When we stepped into her room, her fiery gaze pinned Noah to the wall.
Feel free to take your time. It's not like I'm dying in here or anything.
He rolled his eyes.
You'll be fine. Brielle's here to heal you.
Shay's eyes bugged out, sweat beating her brow.
What? Has she ever done this before?
I winced. Not really, but...
But I'm here, and I'm the best healer the school has, and a wonderful teacher.
Noah winked at Shay. Shay scoffed.
I'm glad your ego is still alive and thriving. Just hurry. It feels like it's going to fall off.
Oh, God. The walls are closing in. I'm going to faint. I can't do this.
Ready?
Noah asked. I gulped.
Of course.
Rule number one of healing. Act confident even if you're scared shitless. A scared patient is a bad situation. Noah positioned himself over my right shoulder with his hand on my lower back, pushing me closer to Shay. I sat next to her in the healer's chair, where Noah, or any one of the other healers, usually sat. She gave me that look that said, "If you mangle my arm, I'll never forgive you."
Bitch, I've got this, I told her confidently.
That made her lips curl.
You better, or you owe me a box of Cloud Nine donuts.
Huh, that would be my entire 2-week paycheck. Deal. Noah dropped a bucket at my feet. Frowning, I looked up at my teacher.
What's that for?
You'll see. Activate your healing centers and I'll guide you through the rest,
Noah instructed. Activate my healing centers? No big deal. I stared at my palms, and then to the Raphael tattoo on my forearm.
Wake up.
I pushed the thought into my hands. I'd done it a whopping 3 times in my life, so I was hoping it still worked.
Relax. Your power will automatically reveal itself in the presence of someone injured,
Noah assured me. I knew that. I let my hand hover over Shay's bubbled and angry red arm. The skin stretched so taut it looked like it might burst. Sure enough, my palm started to heat up, emitting a faint orange glow.
It's working!
I tried not to sound too rookie, but I was pretty excited.
Of course it is.
Cool, calm, and collected. That was Noah. The orange healing light was different from the celestial light we learned about in class with Fred. The celestial light could be used as a weapon. This was always a healing tool.
Now, assess her injury with your power and take it into you. Not too much and not too fast, like Lincoln did with your tattoos. Just go easy, or you'll be in worse shape than her.
Yeah, he'd lovingly drilled that into my head every day for the past 4 months. Low and slow was the healer motto. Healers couldn't heal without taking on the malady themselves. It was a catch-22. The stronger the healer, the more serious the injury they could take on. If a beginner healer tried to heal a person dying of a knife wound, that healer could die. Noah was the strongest among all of the healers, apparently, which made him the master teacher. I started my breathing techniques, in and out. When I went in, I sucked a little of Shay's burn into me, through my hands. I knew it was working the second the stinging sensation lit up the veins in my arms. My eyelids snapped open. It burns. I feel a bit better, Shay confessed. Maybe I wasn't going to screw this up. Noah rested a hand on my back.
Good. Now breathe through it. Your body was made for this. The blood of the Archangel of Healing runs through your veins. With training and focus, there's no sickness you can't expunge.
I was supposed to concentrate, but at his words, my father popped into my mind. Can you heal cancer? I asked randomly. Shay squirmed in her seat, and Noah looked uncomfortable.
Cancer is difficult to explain. We can talk about this in detail another time, okay?
He knew. He must have read my file, too, because he was giving me that pity look. I just nodded. Focus, you idiot. Shay needs you. Closing my eyes, I placed my other hand over Shay's arm. Taking in a deep breath, I sucked more of the injury in through my palm. If someone had given me the ability to choose any superpower, it wouldn't be flying, although that was pretty great. It wouldn't be manifesting $1 million, although that would be great too. It would be to end human suffering from illness. Watching my father, the strongest member of my family, be reduced to skin and bones, to lose his dignity, to cry out in pain, it was life-altering. If I could learn to take that from people, I would. If practicing and becoming stronger could afford me the ability to be a great healer like Noah, then that's the path I wanted to take after school. I didn't want to be some raging soldier with a high demon kill record like Lincoln. I wanted to heal people, and not just people who were deemed worthy. I wanted to heal anyone. Whoever was hurt or suffering deserved an end to that. I didn't realize until right then just how passionate I was about it.
Slow down there, killer, Noah said, tapping my arm.
My eyes snapped open, and suddenly the pain of 1,000 burning suns ripped through my body. Nausea rolled into me, and I whimpered. Looking down, I saw Shay's entire arm glowing with a powerful orange light. My healing light. Her injury was completely gone. I did that. Noah sighed.
You overdid it, as I thought you would.
I grabbed my stomach, groaning again. My mouth watered with the nausea.
I was going to be sick.
Noah grabbed the back of my neck and lightly pushed my head down over the bucket between my legs.
Out with it, before it starts doing damage.
What? Then I vomited, burning hot, green acid into the bucket. Twice. When I was done, I wiped my mouth and looked up at Noah.
Holy shit, how is that possible?
So many questions. For starters, how did the acid go through my veins, into my stomach, and out my throat without damaging me? He chuckled.
I told you, your body was made to heal, and you have a natural talent for it. I hope you'll think about majoring in healing studies next year.
I just nodded, then looked at Shay. Does this mean you owe me Cloud9 Donuts?
That was not the deal, she answered with a smirk.
Noah leaned over the bed and kissed Shay's lips, pulling back only a few inches.
Cloud9 Donuts are on me, beautiful. I gotta see if Lincoln needs help.
He stood and left the room. Shay's gaze followed him through the door with confusion. Lips puckered, eyes squinted.
He likes you. He likes you, I teased.
She frowned.
He's never kissed me outside of his car. That was weird.
I tried to breathe through the last of my lingering nausea. He said you were a bitch to him, and he liked that you always called him out. Did I translate that right? Shay's mouth popped open.
He called me a bitch?
No, not like that. It was a compliment, I think. He likes that you don't bend over backward for him or something. Said you were one of a kind.
I was awful at that kind of stuff.
Shay crossed her arms.
Whatever, he's probably dating 5 other girls at the same time.
Well, why don't you ask him? She laid back in her bed and stared at the ceiling.
Because I don't want to know the answer.
Denial. It was a nice place to live. It was probably a horrible time to tell her that Lincoln had called me his girlfriend, so I decided to stuff that away for a later date.
Dude, you opened a portal to hell.
She winced.
Oopsie.
Drowsiness descended on me then. The healing had totally drained me. Laying my head on Shay's arm, I sighed. This is why we can't have nice things. I'm burping black magic and you're opening portals to hell. Shay laughed, resting a hand on my head. We'd be straight-A students at Tainted Academy. I chuckled. She was probably right. And that was a bit depressing. We can't all be Tiffany's, I stated. The world can't handle any more Tiffany's, she assured me. Ain't that the truth?
Chapter 20. The next month nearly killed me. There was a development in the war, and Lincoln was sent away for 2 weeks at a time, as was Noah. They weren't allowed to say, but I'd overheard them talking about an increase in demon activity and losing the eastern border of the city. Lincoln had assigned Carl in his place. Carl was a crotchety 45-year-old celestial with Archangel Michael powers, who had no sense of reason. He worked me like a dog and had no pity when I was hurt. I was walking home from my shift at the clinic, limping, really, when my phone buzzed with a text. Lincoln, I'm home. Come to the trailer. I pivoted and started in the direction of the parking lot, nerves bristling through me. I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks. I always had this random, irrational fear that he'd break up with me for no reason. Now, after being apart for weeks on end, with only an occasional email here or there, that was all the more likely. I knocked, even though I had a key so I could water his one sad succulent plant while he was away.
Come in,
he muttered. I stepped up and opened the door, but Lincoln wasn't in the front room. Hello? I called out, closing the door behind me.
Back here,
he yelled, his voice strained. I set my bag down and walked back to the bedroom where we'd made out so many times I'd lost count. The room where I was hoping he'd rock my world sometime soon. The second I saw the gauze on his abdomen, a few drops of blood coming through, I stopped breathing, all those sexy thoughts flying out of my head. You're hurt! I ran to his side, sitting at the edge of the bed. His hand grasped the side of my jaw and neck, pulling me down so my forehead rested on his. His dark hair was tousled against his forehead, and aside from his wound, he looked sexy as all hell. He inhaled.
I missed the way you smell.
Then his lips landed on mine and I fell onto him, careful not to touch his stomach. I held myself up, relishing the feelings of his lips on mine. God, I loved kissing him. It was electric and amazing. You're hurt, I repeated, finally pulling away. He looked up at the ceiling.
I'll be fine after a few days' rest. Things are getting worse out there.
I'd asked for more details before, and he never gave them, so I didn't bother now. Carl is a total psycho. He's trying to kill me, I shared. Lincoln laughed and then winced, clutching his side, but for the few seconds that he'd smiled, his whole face lit up. God, he was handsome. Dark, unruly hair, strong jaw, intense eyes. He belonged in a romance novel, not by my side.
He says you're getting better at your flying sword lunges.
Ha! As if he would ever pay me a compliment. I nearly broke my ankle last week, and he told me to tape it up and keep going. I huffed. Lincoln grinned, giving me a devilish look. What? I asked, raising an eyebrow.
He was my trainer. I told him to break you and put you back together again.
My eyes widened. Lincoln, he took you seriously. His eyes darkened.
Good.
Sometimes I seriously question the mental stability of this man. I frowned. Is this just about me passing the gauntlet? He was quiet for so long that I almost asked again. No. Mild terror flushed through my veins. What else is it about? His lips puffed out as he sighed.
Bree, there's a very real possibility that they will one day kidnap you.
Full-fledged terror burst through my veins, making my heart beat erratically. Lincoln propped himself up on one elbow, wincing in pain as he did.
I would find you. I will always find you. In the meantime, I need you to be able to take care of yourself. I don't want to think that any one of them could have their way with you until I could get to you.
My eyes widened. Oh, God. I never thought about that. I mean, I'd heard stories, but... Okay, was all I said. All I could say in the face of such horrifying news. I let my healing power come to the surface of my palm and stroked his arm, but his hand came out and grabbed my wrist. He shook his head.
No.
I frowned. Why not? He ran his fingers from my temple to my jaw.
Because I don't ever want to cause you pain.
Lincoln pushed the inside of the elbow I was leaning on
so I fell on him. I caught myself before slamming into his face, but now we were a few inches apart. He grasped the back of my neck once more, holding me close.
You saved me from the darkest time of my life. I'm going to take care of you, no matter what.
My throat tightened with emotion. Deep down, Lincoln was a passionate soul, a loyal friend. He was freaking perfect. I'm so in love with him. The thought actually shocked me. I wasn't sure when it had happened or how. We were slightly dysfunctional most of the time, but damn, I loved everything about him. I knew that even if we broke up, he'd always make sure I was okay. There was so much respect and love between us. We'd somehow started at each other's throats and became closer for it. Lying back in bed, he pulled me down with him.
Stay with me,
he mumbled. Shay was waiting to meet up with me so we could practice drills, and I had a paper due next afternoon that I'd barely started, but I stayed. Of course I stayed.
The gauntlet is in 10 days. 10 days and your future will be determined,
Lincoln barked, as he swung a left hook right at my face. I honestly couldn't believe I'd survived my first year at Fallen Academy. Well, almost survived. The gauntlet would weed out the weak from the strong. Yes, my boyfriend was trying to beat me up. All the time. I dodged the jab, then threw a hard knee into his inner thigh. If I fail, it's not the end of the world, Lincoln, I told him. The pressure he was putting on me was getting to be enormous. I stepped into his body, pushing my pelvis into his, and I'm pretty sure I can still get you to make good on your promise whether I pass the gauntlet or not. His gaze went razor sharp as his arms lowered.
If you don't pass, you no longer will be allowed to attend school here. That means you won't live in the safety and protection of the academy. You'll get kidnapped, I'll have to rescue you, and it's going to be a mess. Just pass.
Jeez, that got dark quickly. Yes, sir, I said, saluting him.
Trust me, there are other perks to passing, but I can't talk about them. Let's just say your minimum wage job at the clinic won't be needed.
That made my eyes widen a bit. Money? If you pass the gauntlet, you were given money? I'm listening. Damn, the bastard knew me inside and out. Money and Cloud9 donuts were strong motivators for me. Lincoln grinned.
Just be ready for anything, he added cryptically.
I waved my fingers in front of his face in a spooky gesture. I got this. He took on a serious look, then dropped his gaze to the floor.
I asked Raphael if you could be exempt from competing.
I stepped back, mouth open in shock. You what? Why would you do that? How embarrassing. He thought I couldn't pass on my own and needed special treatment?
I'll show him what we're capable of,
Sarah screamed from her place at my hip. Calm down. He's just trying to help, I told her. Lincoln ran a hand through his hair.
I can't tell you why, but the gauntlet is dangerous, especially for you.
Especially for me? What the hell does that mean? It's a school thing, so it can't be that dangerous, I said casually. Lincoln just shook his head.
You'll see. Just keep training. And when you're in there, use everything you have, including the black tie.
We'd affectionately named my dark magic the black tie, since it ended up strangling the person I sent it after. But I'd never wanted to use that again, and he knew that. I'd gotten my 4-watt bulb hands to a stunning 20-watt with a ton of practice. I figured eventually I could blind someone with it or something along those lines. I don't want to go dark, I told him. He rested his hands on my shoulders.
You're not, but you do have dark magic, and you need to use it when necessary.
Fine. He has a point, I guess. I nodded.
Be back here at 7 tonight. I have a special training for you.
He started to walk to the corner of the room where his gym bag and water were. What special training? Not Carl, right? Fear gripped me at the thought. I never wanted to train with that lunatic again. He chuckled.
No, not him. But someone very special is going to teach you a life-saving skill.
I sighed. Cryptic much? He chuckled.
Just be here.
With a chaste smile, he was off, leaving me to my own thoughts. It was 4 o'clock. What was I going to do for 3 hours? I decided to pass the time doing pedicures with Shay and Luke back in our dorm.
When are one of you going to go all the way with your boys? I need sex talk here,
Lincoln pointed out, while painting lime green polish on his toes. I threw my hands into the air. I'm beginning to think something is wrong with Lincoln. What guy in their right mind denies sex? Shay chuckled.
A guy who is like 4 years older than you, is afraid of breaking you, and has had a lot more sexual experience than you. I scowled at her. Noah